First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter says, be sober. This means to be self-disciplined, to think rationally, not foolishly. And next he says, to be vigilant. That means to be alert, to make certain that we don't fall into these pitfalls and stumble. Now, why does Peter exhort us to be sober and vigilant? Well, because as we've seen, our adversary, your adversary, Satan, is our vowed enemy. And he attacks when we least expect it, and he desires to destroy us completely. So the lion, as we've seen here, often goes after the weak, right? The old, the young, the one who is left by themselves. And that's why the lion likes to roar, to scare us, right? He tries to frighten the herd so they will begin to run, and that way they could single out their prey. And as he tries to scare us, you know, and if he gets us to run, well then he's got us, okay? That's it. Somebody's gonna suffer for it. Now, why is it so important to stay together? Well, Hebrews tells us here, 10:24-25, says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in a manner of some, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, why do we assemble ourselves together? Why don't we just listen online and, you know, watch some service online? Hey, it's more comfortable. I don't have to get up early in the morning and take the train and all the rest. It's because there's safety in numbers. And some may be saying, oh, but Joseph, you know, I'm not afraid of Satan. You know, I've been a Christian for a long time, Joseph. You know, I know my scriptures and I'm not afraid of Satan. And they'll begin to quote scriptures such as Romans 8:31, and says, you know, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? That's a good one to quote. And how about John, 1 John 4:4? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And we'll throw these scriptures out there. And you know what? These scriptures are absolutely true. Amen to these scriptures. Because of these truths, we are able to stand up against the attacks from the enemy. But we are to stand together, not alone. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And Satan knows this, and that is why he roars like a lion, in a sense, to try to divide and conquer. That's the name of his game. Okay? And the question is, do we even care? All right? Do we care about our brothers? Do we care about our sisters in the Lord? Do we really love each other the way Christ has commanded us to? Or do we have the, hey, every Christian for themselves mentality, right? And only the strong will survive. If you're weak, that's your fault, right? You need to be strong. Sometimes we could have that mentality and just run. Now, there was these two characters. One we'll call Yoshi and the other one Kino. And these two friends, they went on safari in Africa one time, okay? And the guide came to him and said, hey, listen, you guys need to stick together, because there are lions around here, and so you need to be careful. And so, as they were setting up the camp for the night, and they finished up setting up camp, all of a sudden, Yoshi pulled out a pair of brand new running shoes out of a box, opens them up, brand new pair of running shoes, and starts to put them on and lace them up. Okay, and Kino says, hey, what are you doing with those running shoes? He said, well, in case there's a lion. If a lion comes, I'm gonna run. And Kino says, come on, you're not going to be able to outrun a lion, even with those fancy running shoes. And he says, I don't have to outrun the lion. I just have to outrun you. Okay, you don't like that one? Well, How about this one? The next day, okay, the next day, Yoshi was taking a little jog, you know, trying his running shoes out for size, right? And he said, okay, let me try these shoes out. And he starts taking a little jog, and all of a sudden, there was a lion. And the lion started to chase him. He goes, oh, get me out. He starts to run with his new running shoes, right? And he starts to run. And sure enough, he finds himself in front of a hill and has a dead end. And he had nowhere to run. And so he turns around and there was the lion right behind him, slowly approaching, licking his chops. Right? He was done for. And all he can do was pray. So he just bows his head. Oh Lord, please, if you're really real, if you're real, then please let this lion become a Christian lion. Amen? And then he opens his eyes and there's the lion. And the lion has his paws like this. And his head bowed like this, as if he's praying. And he said, I can't believe it. Oh, this is amazing. And all of a sudden, he heard the lion say, Father, thank you for this food I'm about to receive. Amen. You like that one, man? Well, the point is this, okay? The point is this. Whatever you do, don't run. Don't run. Peter says, 1 Peter 5:9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Hey, we're all going through it together, right? We need to stick together. And we are commanded to not run, but to resist and to fight rather than flee. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, all we need to do really, truly, is to call out to the Lord and trust Him. Romans 10:13, For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved in those times of fear. Now, as Peter continues here, verse 10 says, But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Notice, He never promises us that we won't suffer. Okay, the attacks of the enemy will come, and they're not going to feel very good. But He does promise to perfect us, like a doctor setting a bone in place, and to mend that bone and to make us whole again. And He does promise to establish us. We're going to be established. We're going to be settled. The next thing He says is strengthens us. God will give us the ability to succeed in all that we do for Him. And He says He's going to settle us. As a consequence of our facing the attacks of our enemy, God will, of course, use those things to build us up, to strengthen us, and make us steadfast and immovable for Him. So all these things are going to work together, and these are the promises. Now, although God promises us these things, there are some who just simply lack the faith to apply these principles and truths to their lives. And as a church, you know, we can't be afraid to go after those who Satan has. Some of us might know some people that Satan has right now in his clutches, and we say, oh, you know, too bad, so sad. No. Now, we need to go after them, protect them, get around them, and encourage them to come on, come on, come on. Now, if they don't want to trust the Lord, if they don't want to fight for themselves, as we saw the calf fighting for itself to get up and get out, well, that's on them, really. We've done our best. There's not much we can do if people don't want the help. But as a church, as Christians, we need to try to help those that are in need, who Satan has. Now, if they just don't want it, well, we've done our best. And we got to commit them and the rest to God. It's very sad. Okay? And so what do we do at that point? We just pray for them. Pray for them and pray others will come around them. If they don't want to listen to you, if they don't want to listen to some more friends of yours, to say, come on back to church, you know, come on, let's get together, let's have food, let's whatever. I understand. We've tried. Amy and I have tried with so many people. And they just don't want the help. Then what do? Pray for them. That's all we can do. They have to fight. We have to fight for ourselves. If not, then Satan's got us. Well, verse 11. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, as he's kind of switching topics a little bit here, let's talk about amen. You know, we say amen all the time. We say, hallelujah. What's hallelujah mean? What is it? It means praise the Lord. That's all it means. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, but we say these Christianese words all the time. We don't even know what they mean. Okay, so, amen. Let's talk about it. Amen is a transliterary word, is transliterated directly from the Hebrew into the Greek, into the New Testament, into Latin, and then into English, and into many other languages. And it's basically practically a universal word throughout all these different cultures, okay? And has been called the best known word in human speech, okay? Now, the word is directly related to and almost identical to a Hebrew word that's used for believe, amen. And it means to be faithful, okay? And to believe, to be faithful. And so, thus it has come to be known surely as yes, truly, for sure, so be it. May it be fulfilled. Understand? These are the things we're saying when we say amen or amen. And it's an expression of absolute trust and confidence. Now, responding to the Word of God, sometimes you go to some churches sometimes and people, pastor will be preaching like right now, I'll be preaching and somebody will be going, amen, right? And they'll hear a Word of God and they're like, amen! Some of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, thank you very much. And so maybe some of us come from churches like that. We don't seem to do that right now, but, you know, let's give it a try. Let's see. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Amen. Oh yeah, there you go. Well, saying something like that, it actually comes from a Jewish practice, okay? It's where it originated from, declaring that everything that had been said is true. And that the hearers are committed to putting it into practice. I like that. Don't say amen unless you agree that it's true and if you're willing to put it in practice yourself. Okay, everybody's going to be quiet now. Now, when one had offered up a solemn prayer, for example, to God, and the others responded, as we often do after a prayer, amen or amen, thus, you know, this made that substance of what was uttered their prayer as well. Okay, so this is the idea behind it. It's I'm in agreement. I agree. I bring it upon myself and desire to put this into practice myself. Okay, it's not just a word. Amen, amen, amen. It's not a period at the end of a sentence. Okay, this word means I agree with this. And sometimes, to be honest, I hear some prayers I don't agree with. And I don't say amen to at the end of the prayer. And so if we're praying together and I don't say amen, well, that's a hint. I don't agree with what you're saying. Okay? And you're like, how could you do that? Because sometimes people pray for silly things. Right? Ungodly things. And I just don't agree with that. So, be careful what you pray for and what you're agreeing with. And that's a whole other story that Romans... Anyways, never mind. 1 Peter 5:12. As we continue. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Now, Silvanus here, whose Aramaic name was Silas, that might sound familiar to you, worked very closely with Paul and Peter. But notice the exhortation to stand against our enemies, even Satan himself, isn't in our own strength or works. And that's important. It isn't in our own righteousness. We can't stand before God in our own goodness. Okay? We need to humble ourselves, as we talked a lot about last week, and humble ourselves before the Lord, and then stand, as it says here, in the true grace of God. As we continue, verse 13, "She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son." So she indicates and refers to the people who comprise of the local church, that is, in the city from which Peter was writing. And Babylon here, it may refer to the literal city of Babylon, which was still in existence of that day, or it may have been symbolic, a symbolic way of referring to either Rome or Jerusalem. For these two cities that Peter, in Peter's day were, of course, very famous for their wickedness. Okay, and spiritual rebellion, as Peter was sharing, just like the ancient city of Babylon was. Now, the elect together with you, it refers to all the people of God who are chosen by Him, okay, to be His people. And Mark, well, that was Peter's spiritual son, not his physical son. And of course, that is the same Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Okay, now, verse 14 says, "Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Now, the early Christians and the Jews, they greeted fellow believers with a kiss on the cheek, just like we still see in practice in many cultures today. And Peter here was encouraging believers to treat fellow believers as a part of one large spiritual family. The way you would kiss your brother or your mother, right? It's just a love kiss. And so why don't we do that here in Japan? Or why don't we see that very often in some of the cultures today? Well, notice the word translated for love here is the Greek word, as you know, agape. And it's not eros. Okay, there's a difference. Agape is that unconditional love that God has for us and wants us to have for each other. Eros is the Greek word where we get the word erotic from. It's a sexual type of love where we get that word from. So this is not the same word that he's using. And this is the reason why this custom has really ceased from many cultures, especially in the church. It's because people just didn't have enough discernment to know the difference between a kiss of eros and a kiss of agape, okay? It's two different things. And it created problems in the early church. And so by the 4th century, the church set up a rule, okay? Men, you can only kiss the men. And girls, only kiss the girls. Because there was a little confusion here, okay? And so they took all the fun out of it, didn't they? But gradually, you know, the Western culture, of course, they had dropped it completely. And it was a beautiful demonstration of love. And I know even I grew up in East LA, and the Latin culture really loves to give big old kisses on the cheek all the time. And, you know, "Joseph!" I'm like, "Oh man, thank you." You know, and some of you might have experienced that, you know, and if you go to Europe and stuff like that, you know, it's still a cultural thing that happens a lot, but it's very touching, it's very moving, it's a very special thing. But unfortunately, it has created many problems in the church. So when people see this verse, "Hey, Joseph, how come we don't do that today?" Right? Okay, after church, you can put it to practice if you want, but don't. Now, although we would love perhaps to express ourselves with more feelings and so forth, we know that it was not received in the right spirit, and oftentimes it's not given in the right spirit. And so that's why we don't really practice this anymore. And today, you know, we smile at each other, hello, you know, and in Japan we bow, hello, you know. And then sometimes the gaijin will come in and try to give the Nihonjin a hug, right? And we'll go, hello, and they'll be like, hey, oh, what are you doing? You know, it's freak them out, you know, sorry, gomenasai. And so, you know, we do that, and gomenasai, we just can't help it, right? And so, lucky I don't give you a kiss. It'll really freak you out. But the main point is this, that we are to love each other. And it should be expressed somehow. Now, I know there's a cultural differences here between then and now, and different cultures just show it different ways. But the point is, it should be shown. And it should be known. However you go about it. Some people bake cookies, you know. Some Virginia just gave me a box of chocolates today. Hallelujah. That's love. But it wasn't for me. She said, give it to Amy. So anyways. But you know, we can express it in many different ways. The question is, are we expressing it? And that's the main point. You know, as we sum up this whole idea of love, you know, throughout the whole epistle of 1 Peter, Peter just made this point in every chapter. And I just want to review it real fast, this point of agape love for one another. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Chapter 3, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Chapter 4, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And, as we saw, chapter 5, greet one another with a kiss, or a candy, or a baked cookies, or something of love. And peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Okay, well, you said amen. That means you need to put it to practice. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time together. As we've seen an amazing illustration of love demonstrated with the calf and the bulls there, just going after the one they loved. Amazing story, Lord. Amazing picture. Help us. How much more should we as Christians, as human beings, go after those we love? But I guess that's the real question, Lord. Do we really love? Do we really have that love for one another, or are we really just out to look out for ourselves and, you know, the ones closest to us? There's a lot of people suffering, as we have talked a lot about during this series. We know that. We see it on the trains as they're stopped all the time. We know people who are hurting, who need your love. But Lord, we just ask that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, first and foremost, to stand. And then, that we would have a heart for those who are lost. And that we would be able to show the love that you have poured into our hearts and want us to just pour out to everyone around us. So please, God, as we consider these things, help us not leave here the same way we came in, as we often say, but that we would truly be changed by the encouragement, the exhortation of your holy word. Please, Lord, help us. Apart from you, we can do nothing. We need your help. Taskate kudasai. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. God bless you.